Alrighty. Yet another episode of Binge Worthy Guru. I'm your boy Ian, and I am going to bring you yet another episode of a show that you should sit down and press the play button and don't get up until it's the credits rolling from the season finale. I'm hoping not the series finale. But either way, if it's a season finale or a series finale, you might go through what's called a post-binge depression, where you're watching a show and you had no intentions in sitting for 8, 10, 13 hours straight watching the show. And now that it's over and you got to wait another year for the next season to come out, or worse, you watch the series finale, so the show's never coming back, and you feel some kind of way. So I'm here to give you another show that you can watch instead to kind of, help you get over your ex. Ex being the show you just finished, not your real ex. That was not really the, well, I mean, sometimes we do need to binge watch too. Let's change the subject. So anyway, that's the purpose of Binge Worthy Guru. And I have another very unique and unusual show, but it's really good. I didn't think I was going to like it. Someone referred me to it. I forgot to say that was a text message on my watch and I need to put my thing on pause. But anyway, I should totally tell you guys that you all should send me shows that you think I should watch. Like, say, for instance, you don't want to invest in my 3-episode rule. If you've watched my other podcast, you'll know I have the 3-episode rule that, you know, hey, if you see a show that you're interested in, go ahead and watch the first 3 episodes, because by the 3rd episode, the writing, the actors, the way pilots or first season shows are written is that they try to give the audience 3 episodes, because, you know, hey, I might watch the first episode of a show, but my friend has never heard of it. So I'm saying, hey, you should watch the show, and then they might come in on episode 2 or watch it late. But because they like the show, they want to catch up with everyone else. So by episode 3, it's like there's information that's given, but you're not missing so much, because the momentum tends to really build and get you hooked into the show by episode 3 or after episode 3. So that's why I have a 3-episode rule. But some people may not want to do the 3-episode rule. So you tell me a show that you want me to watch and do the work for you, and I'll do an episode on it to let you know if it was binge worthy or not. So that's an example of this show here. I try to choose shows that are not really mainstream. Like Handmaid's Tale is a mainstream show on Hulu. Orange is the New Black, House of Cards are mainstream shows on Netflix, which at some point I'm going to do. Fleabag, even though that doesn't count, but I did an episode on Fleabag before Fleabag won all the awards, because it was just a great show. But now that it's mainstream, in hindsight, I probably would not have done a show because everyone's heard of it. At least I'm assuming they have. This is another show. I run the assumption. Okay, so again, I had no intentions in doing the show. It's on Netflix. It's a foreign show in that they're not speaking Spanish in the show. My guess is that the show takes place in Spain. For whatever weird reason, I tend to like shows that are called Netflix originals, but they're obviously from different countries. The example is when I did the episode on Elite. Some people don't like the show. I liked it because I kind of look at shows for what they are and I just keep it moving, you know, but some people cannot do that. Like, I respect the cultures of different shows and actors and content, and it just allows me to appreciate the show because I'm not looking at it as an American. I'm looking at the show as a tourist. Like, those shows make me feel like as if I'm in their country, and because it's English dubbed and I can hear them speaking in English, even though I can see their mouths moving like they're speaking in Spanish, I feel like I'm a tourist in their country, and it helps me get closely connected to other parts of the world. So that's why I like these kind of shows. This show is similar to that. The show is called, I'm going to just cut to the chase. The show is called Toy Boy. And for you ladies, you're going to love this show. If you like Magic Mike, if you like strip clubs, if you like seeing men that are pretty much naked, minus seeing the part that actually helps you make a baby, if you're okay with not seeing that part, but seeing everything else, then this show is for you. What am I trying to say? For the guys who prefer other guys, there's a few elements in the show also where you'll be quite satisfied also. So again, I did not plan on doing this show. I remember when Netflix did the preview for it, and I was like, I have no interest in this show. I'm not going to watch it. Not because of the fact that they were strippers, but it just seemed cliche, and the preview just didn't do anything for me. And I had a friend of mine that was like, you should watch the show. And I was like, all right, being that I watch everything, I'll watch it. And then I had another friend of mine, a female friend of mine, and she sent me a picture of the same character that my other friend liked. So there's one character in the show that everyone just particularly falls in love with for some reason. And I don't think I'm sure for some it's the looks, but I really think the personality of the person is what wins folks over. So when she said randomly that she likes this guy, I was like, wait a minute, was he in Toy Boy? I just remember his face is familiar. And when she said she was watching it and she said she had no interest. Hey, Deanne, that's what I'm talking about. She had no interest in watching the show, but she was hooked. So that's when I was like, all right, I think this is one of those shows that, you know, people may not be interested in, but once you get into it, it's really good. So that's why I'm talking about Toy Boy. I don't know any of the actors that are in the show. I don't know any of the people. Again, this is what I call a foreign show that Netflix kind of brought over to us, and they put it in with English. It's not English subtitles. It's in English. But you can tell that the show was originally done in Spanish or Portuguese or another Latin language. To give you a brief premise of what the show is. All right. So it's this guy. It's like Magic Mike. I promise you. They're in this club. The best friend owns this club. And they just, you know, they do these routines. So every episode, these strippers do this routine. So if you like choreographed dancing, or if you like seeing strippers do the same choreographed dance, this show is for you. And the dude in the club does like this venue where the women come over and they're like, oh, yeah, give me money. And they do this like dance with this hot music and that kind of thing. And one thing that you're not supposed to do as a stripper is that you don't really want to prostitute yourself or fall in love with anyone. Well, the main character, Hugo, falls for someone. And he falls for this chick, and she's married, and her husband turns out dead, and he's framed because they framed him in ways that you would typically frame someone. You have them pass out next to the dead body with blood on their hands. I mean, you know, there we go. And he goes to prison, and this rookie attorney who's trying to advance her career wants to look at the evidence and proves that he's innocent. So he gets out of jail earlier. At least that's how I understood it. He gets out of jail earlier, and now he's working with the lawyer to clear his name because he contested he didn't do it. So that's pretty much what happens. You know, so he's getting back into the stripper world. He's trying to solve the murder of the husband, and just everything gets ridiculously complicated, and it's just a great, great, fun, good time. If you like whodunit shows where you're like, you're trying to figure out who really did it, or if the person in question really did do it, you're going to like this show, because you're not going to find out what happened or who did everything until the very end. This is one of those shows that around episode 7 or 8, I had my suspicions. So by the time I got to the season finale, I was like, oh, okay, I'm not surprised. It wasn't a letdown. It wasn't like, oh, shit, I wasted my time. It was just a thing where I was happy that I was right about who it was. But I think before the season is over, you kind of have an idea of who it is. Not based on acting, not based on clues. It's just you start to weed out the people who it could be. And it just makes logical sense. It's a little graphic. As far as there's some sex scenes in it, there's some bisexual stuff going on. There's some orgies and all kinds of sexual content going in. So if you're sensitive to that type of sexual content, then this may not be the show for you. But then I also told you this show was like Magic Mike with strippers. So you kind of should have known there's going to be some aggressive, passionate Latin loving that's happening in there. And it was... some of the scenes were just great to watch. What can I say? One other thing, this show will piss you off. Every single character on this show does dumb shit. Hugo, the young lawyer, the best friend, the best friend's sister-in-law, Hiro, I think that's his name. Okay, I'm getting off subject, but I promise you I'm still on subject. Everyone loves Hiro. Hiro, and when I first watched the show, I'm not giving this away, but when I first watched the show, I thought Hiro was deaf. So I feel embarrassed saying this, but when I first saw Hiro, a part of the whole male review dance troupe or whatever, I was like, how is he on beat and everything if he's deaf? How can he hear the music? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, he's doing sign language and stuff. How is he dancing? How does he know what's going on? And it was my own ignorance. I wasn't trying to make a joke. It was a legitimate question based on the way the show was shot. And my friend had to tell me he's not deaf. He's mute. So he can hear. He just can't speak. So he does the sign language and his loved ones know sign language also. But the consensus is that everyone loves this guy. Hiro is the best because he's this innocent guy. He's mute. Deanne says he's super attractive. He's a good looking guy, I ain't gonna lie. Like, you know, he's nice looking and that kind of thing. But the way he his role is portrayed is that he's just this innocent, nice person, hopeless romantic, wants love, loves his family. His family is at odds with him. I'm not going to tell you why. And he's just an all around good guy. So for me, I liked him because I sometimes feel that way. I feel like I kind of love my loved ones and I'm there for them and that kind of thing. But sometimes I don't receive the love I want back in return. So I can kind of relate to him from that perspective. But there's so much to his character. I think his character had a lot of depth. And I think that the actor who portrayed him did a great job of just portraying all the struggles he had to deal with being mute and not really wanting to communicate what he wanted to communicate. But he pissed me off also. He did some dumb shit. Like, so I'm going to warn you is that you're going to be, and it's been a while since I've watched a show where I was cussing at the television. This was one of those shows where I'm like, you stupid idiot. Why the hell would you do that? Like, just angry. So I'm going to warn you, these characters are going to piss you off. They have enough redeemable qualities. They have enough things going on for them where you kind of forgive them. But up until the season finale, they're going to do dumb shit. As long as you're okay with that, as long as you're cool with knowing, okay, Ian told me that they're going to do stupid stuff throughout this entire episode. So as long as I'm walking in knowing that, I won't be as upset as Ian was. I'm not going to throw food at the television like he did because I was warned that they're all going to do stupid shit. Except the black guy. Like, the black guy on there, he's not going to do anything stupid. Well, he does one thing stupid, like by around episode 6 or 5. But everyone else just repeatedly does dumb shit. So I just want to make sure you know that. Make sure you know that. It's a good show. So anyway, so it's mysteries of whodunit. It's finding out who really killed the father, if Hugo didn't do it or if Hugo did do it. There's some other things that are happening in the show. There's other romances and things and stuff. I don't want to go into those things because they all connect. The people who are hooking up kind of are connected with the murder and all this other stuff or whatever. So I don't want to get into that. One thing I will get into is that the wife of the husband who was found murdered, she's this big company owner and her family is also owners of the company. And there's a lot of shenanigans and stuff going on with them maintaining that company. And there's also missing persons involved. And anyway, it's just one of those shows where every single character is this is also the tipsy episode of Binge Worthy Guru because apparently the cocktail I just had is making me not be able to say what I want to say right now. But anyway, everyone's interconnected. So it's really one of those shows that's going to hook you in. Again, when I first saw the previews, I had no interest in the show. I did not want to watch it. Someone else referred me to it. Once I watched it and then someone else told me it was great. After I had watched it, I realized that it's a show that I should share with you guys. And here we are. But it's also one of those shows where I don't want to get too much into detail of what's happening because the web is so intricate as far as how everyone is connected. I'm going to spoil it if I continue to talk. So you guys should be shelter in place. Stop spreading the COVID virus. Stop spreading 19. That's what I call it. Last episode I said this, but don't call, stop spreading 19. Keep your ass at home if you can. If you're over your family, you ran out of booze, your kids are in bed finally from trying to teach them the crap that the teacher should be teaching them today, but they can't because they're home from school. This is why you should just sit down and watch Toy Boy. And yes, I'm saying it correctly. It's not Boy Toy. They called it Toy Boy. So I don't know if it's a translation thing or if it was intentional, but it's called Toy Boy, as in boy toy. But again, if you want to hear some nice music and a bunch of men shaking their ass half naked and that kind of thing, you'll like it. The one thing I will say is that the show is not just centered around stripping. So it's not just this show where the spotlight is on stripping to where it takes away from the plot. It's not. So if, again, you're not trying to watch a stripper show, just like Magic Mike was. I mean, it's not like the whole show was them dancing the entire time. There was there was other plots that was happening within the show. Same thing with Toy Boy. Like, there's so many plots that's going on that it's not centered around stripping. It's kind of like this other show on VH1. I'm not sure if you heard of it, called Hit the Floor, where each episode, the girls, the devil girls, whatever you call them, they did this dance sequence at some point in the show. Same thing from years ago when I was a kid, you know, New York Undercover, not that they did a dance sequence, but I believe there was like an artist that was featured that sang at the end of each episode. Same thing with Toy Boy. It's like, you're going to see like a choreographed dance scene where they're dancing for the girls, but that's pretty much it. That's the only time where they have the spotlight. All the other lives are going to be showcased in it. So again, it's Toy Boy, Netflix, more of a drama, no comedy much in it. Few things you'll laugh at, but it's mainly a drama. It's definitely a whodunit. If you like thrillers, mysteries, you want to guess who's the killer or whoever it is or what's going to happen before it happens, this show is for you. Each episode is approximately an hour, and it was 13 episodes, I believe. So for me, I was like, you mean to tell me it's going to be an hour and it's 13 episodes? Jesus. But all 13 episodes are worth it, and you should watch it so you can agree with me, because I'm right, because I watch a lot of TV. I watch a lot of everything. So check it out. Again, this is your boy Ian, your binge-worthy guru, and you know what I always say, happy binging.